everybody, huddle up. Live from the Great Dane Pub and Brewing Company, this is the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand with Derek Engler and UW Athletic Hall of Famer Tarek Saleh. Here's Alex Gravatt.
On 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand. I'm Alex Gravatt alongside Tarek Saleh. Derek, whoa. Off to a hot start. Derek Engler.
Tarek
Saleh. No coach today as he's taking some time off. I don't know if he's out there with the boys as his grandson, tight end for the Dallas Cowboys. His season is over, just like the Green Bay Packers, who fall 22-10 to the Eagles. And the big bad wolf, Ohio State, moves on to the national championship game. It's just a weird time to be a fan of Wisconsin sports right now for me. But how are you guys feeling about it? I mean, you're the Badgers through and through. Tarek, where's your head at?
Well, I'm just coming off that Green Bay loss. I was really disappointed. Obviously, you can't have turnovers. I had four turnovers. And despite all these things, they were still kind of hanging around. But then just fell apart at the end. And, you know, I think we just got destroyed up front on both sides. And that's where I think we got to really put a lot of time and effort into. But then, you know, having everyone get hurt is, you know, Watson, Dobbs, it seemed like that just fell apart. But I don't see us as a very tough team. And if I had one thing to say to LaFleur, we got to get tougher. And I don't know what that is. But, he's a great football mind. Gutekunst is a great GM. Now we got to figure out how to build some toughness so we could be resilient and move past some of these challenges, Derek, you say?
Well, G-Man, I was going to comment on it's a tough time to be a Badgers fan. What about the Hoops team?
Oh.
I mean, come on.
Top 25 again,
yeah.
Number 24 in the country.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't think the Packers had a chance anyway, so they just, at the end of the season, you could just, I mean, you know, they drop games. They can't beat anybody. They can't beat any good team, a playoff team. So I didn't think there was any hope whatsoever, to be honest with you.
They end the season with seven losses, if you include the postseason. And six of those losses came to two teams. They lost to the Lions twice. They lost to the Vikings twice. They lost to the Eagles twice. It was just ugly. It was weird. And it felt this year like they really proved that they were, instead of being even the rest of the best, they were the best of the rest, really. They dominated a lot of mediocre teams. They won some games that they should have won, but they never beat a team. They never had a marquee win. And as you look at that, Tarek, you mentioned toughness and that needing to come from the head coach. You mentioned that you were never really satisfied with the way that it seemed like Matt LaFleur was engaging with the players. Derek, do you want to elaborate a little bit more on that?
Well, Tarek and I mean, I think we had the same feeling because we talked about it this afternoon where, you know, I woke up this morning and I'm like, man, I just felt like, you know, the way the players, just their you know, kind of behavior, their body language on the field, you know, just not, I mean, obviously getting out physicaled, but just it was reflective of the head coach. You know, you see LaFleur, like we talked about, he gets pissed off at the refs.
Yeah.
But you ever see him confront a player? I haven't.
Yeah. He seems a little bit – I know he's got some toughness to him, but, like, I don't know what – I don't know. I think he just got to reconstruct that foundation because the guys that need to show up didn't show up. You know, Rashawn Gary again. You know, he had a coverage sack. He hangs around, but he really doesn't make a difference. You know, the Van Ness kid doesn't even play. I don't know. The other guys are good, but nobody's really great. Nobody's beating one-on-ones. You know, Kenny Clark is doing what he can, and I don't know. They got mauled. And Derek, you just can't be.
I think they need to address that offensive line. I mean, I think that's apparent. You know, I mean, I think they started out the season and were exceeding expectations. You have Elgton Jenkins, you know, that's a Pro Bowler. But then when he goes down in the first series, I think it was, you know, that's a big loss. And then, you know, we were talking, G-Man, the guy that replaced him, they pulled him.
Right. Yeah, he back to like early on. He came in. He got blown up once. He had a holding call and a holding call, and they yanked him pretty early.
You know, and Zach Tom, who I've always been high on, he struggled.
He did.
He struggled, and I was really, especially from a technique standpoint, oversetting guys. I was really shocked. And this is reflective again. I think offense, defense, special teams guys weren't ready to play.
Yeah,
and you start with the leadership, and that's the head coach.
100%. So I don't know if Coach LaFleur was passive, but his stars were passive. So Tom, like you said, Gary, Clark, the cornerbacks, you know, I think going back to who's the one that sat out? Or
Jair Alexander.
Jair's been hurt. Like, I don't see him obviously giving any leadership. I don't know what's going on. But nobody's stepping up and being a leader, and they're all kind of complacent. That's just what the feeling is.
You know, and I think that's part of the situation, right? Matt LaFleur came in with Aaron Rodgers, who had a way he wanted it done. He was he's a pretty boy. He's doing his thing. Everything he does is entirely up to him. He is the owner, the leader. He is the law. He's also quite annoying. Jordan Love, on the other hand, much more relaxed guy. Everything seems to be a little bit easier, and Matt LaFleur kind of has that vibe. The first thing he did when he came into the Packers organization was repaint the practice facility so that it was more engaging and inviting, which is okay. I like that. But again, there's like you both have mentioned, there seems to be a huge lack of just going out and getting
urgency.
There. Yeah, urgency. And that's what it came down to, because with 5 minutes left, Jordan Love has the ball. They're driving. They're within 9 points at this point, I believe. And he's taking 40 seconds each time to get up to the ball. There's no urgency, and there's a lack of, like, superstar him talent that really takes control in this situation.
Derek looks at the offense. I look at the defense. But, like, Quay Walker seems like still the fish in, you know, out of water. I don't know. He's just kind of awkward out there. I said Gary's just going
through the motions. Let me give you an example. I saw Kenny Clark and short yardage get rolled up. That's your superstar not being ready right there.
Amen.
And I know Philly's got a great offensive line, but, I mean, come on. That's Kenny Clark. You know, that's an all-pro. Mm-hmm. You know, so you expect your guys to be ready and to make plays and to Tarek's point.
Slater were kind of just, you know, on roller skates, you know.
Yep.
It's not – You win up front. You establish that. That's your core. That's your toughness. That's what you do. And then, you know, if you go on the perimeter, I mean, with the receivers, they all have a glass jaw. Like, everybody was getting hurt. Like, every 5 minutes, people are getting hurt.
It was
Everybody's
ridiculous.
On the field. Everybody's on the field too. They all come on the field and everything. And it's just, like, I know it's kind of old school. We don't need everybody on the field.
No, we
just
don't.
Just put the trainers.
There's guys just hanging
guys.
Around. I mean, I completely 100% agree with you, Tarek. That annoys the crap out of me.
Really?
When you got the whole team out there in a circle, I mean, what are you doing out there?
Well, you're taking care of your guy.
Well,
you
got to
be there for the guy.
Some of those guys are like rookies, special teams guys. Like, what are they doing out there?
Maybe they're elite. You know, you want to be there for your – that surprises me coming from you two, but also you've been there. I don't know.
It's one thing if it's your quarterback, it's one of your, you know, close teammates that you've been – I mean, whatever. But, you know, to have everybody come out there is –
But it happened a lot.
And I know.
It happened like everybody's just getting hurt all the time, and it's like – I don't know. Part of me, like, I never really got carried off the field. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know there's certain situations where that is, but to have all this fanfare of people coming out there, just freaking roll off the field and get tended to underneath that tent, and let's move on.
You know who come to play, though, was Josh Jacobs.
Josh Jacobs.
Four and a half yards of carry. And unfortunately, the game kind of, you know, determined on how that was going to go and the turnovers and everything else. So, you know, you're playing catch-up. Whereas if, you know, you could have really kept him going and kept that horse and that train going, I mean, 4.5 yards of carry and then not have the turnovers, you know, Green Bay could have put themselves in a lot better position for sure. So
this is interesting. 844-770-3776. That is the Carbless ESPN Wisconsin Talking text line. Call in or text in. We'll be reading your text here shortly. I put it on Twitter, at ESPN Madison. Knowing what we know from this past season, which performance worries you more for next season? the Packers at 11-6 or the Badgers at 5-7? Tarek, what are your thoughts?
The Packers at 11-7.
Really?
I don't know.
Well, you know, you said 11-6. So I just wanted to clarify.
Oh, pop. So yeah, 11-7.
Yeah.
Well, you know, no, postseason game.
I think the Badgers do to me because I don't. You know, I think they did a great job recruiting the portal, mm-hmm. and I see good recruits coming in. But I don't know who's going to play quarterback. Right? We haven't established that. How are we going to bring in the new offensive coordinator? What's his role going to be? How is all that going to come together? And the schedule. The schedule, that's what concerns me. Even a good Badger team. I mean, we might be a good Badger team, but one of the better ones with who we're playing. I mean, it is a challenge. So, on the NFL side, with the Packers, I could kind of say, okay, well, Love, you know, he's at least – he knows how to get through this, and hopefully they get some draft picks up front, and they reestablish things. I think they could kind of get there quicker. And the schedule isn't, you know, the schedule is what it is.
It's tough. I go back and forth, but, you know, I guess I gotta tend to agree with Tarek because there's too many variables with college football transfer portal. I don't know. You don't know. I mean, it's worse than the NFL in free agency almost. You know, you just don't know really who is going to be a contributor, who's coming in. I will tell you, though, that there was times this season where with a backup quarterback and with, I think, an average stable of running backs, if we get an elite running back and we get a quarterback, we could be right there. I mean, we had Penn State, and they were right there in semifinals, college football playoffs. We had them in the first half, and we're beating them and played well against some other good teams in the league. But we just need – we need a elite running back, quarterback, and then of course D lineman.
And they've recruited, at least on paper, you know, they have four or five guys now that are new who have pretty good stats from other teams coming into play. So it was addressed.
My question to you, Tarek, would be, and again, I mean, are we just bringing in guys that they look the part, right?
Yep.
And how are we going to coach them up? How are we going to schematically get these guys fundamentally sound within, just the off season and spring ball and training camp and not run around like, they're LT?
Well, this is a great question because, you hope they're not running from something as opposed to running to something, and that they weren't like just get up and go just because they were a little uncomfortable, because anybody who's going to build a franchise or a team that's going to be successful has to deal with adversity, and if you're running from something, that's not good. But assuming these guys just coaching changes, opportunity, if it was a chance to make money, and they just want a different look, and they're like, hey, I want to play. Some of those guys are coming from lower D1 schools, a couple are coming laterally. As long as they have the heart and the will, I know, Coach Fickell is going to coach them up. So it comes down to what's inside.
Are we able to obtain any of the contracts that were given to the kids through the transfer portal as far as NIL deals?
No.
Collective?
Nobody knows.
Not that I know.
Not even through the collective? I'm not saying outside the collective because, that's a black box, but
potentially in the collective. Again, I'm not in on that.
I don't think so. I don't think anybody knows. The players can't get the each other's deal.
But what I
think
did
about
here,
all the big donors, right? That added to what I would think they want to know. Okay, what are we giving this quarterback? What are we giving this D lineman? How much is left? I don't know.
I'm sure there's those that know that have contributed.
Other than that, there's no disclosure other than that, other than donors that have contributed probably a substantial amount of money to the collective. Maybe they can get answers.
Maybe they can. I don't think it's public knowledge, right? You guys know.
No, but they did say, I was listening in on Twitter, I saw Deion Sanders is going through his rules of engagement for the team moving forward. And one of the things that he said was if you are found in violation of any of these rules, we will come after part of your paycheck, which is crazy that he said that. And it was quoted as paycheck, to a certain level.
Well, he's calling it exactly what it is.
That is 100%.
I mean, it's
What's crazy, though, is like what I see
uncapped
this.
Uncapped free agency.
No, well, this is the thing. Like, there's one guy, I think, that determines how much you're going to get. It's centralized of what your number is. And then the only way to know is, like, another player asking another player what they got. So then they go, you know, if you're the starting X, and then they give Y, X, Y, whatever, then you have to go in and go, hey, I heard you gave this amount of money to this player. I want this. And like,
well, Trecek Kahuna did that pretty much, right? He said, I'm going to go play for another team. I'm entering the transfer portal. I'm out. He went. He got his offers from Minnesota, from Iowa, from Arizona, wherever it was. And then he came back to Wisconsin and said, I assume he said, match this. This is what I got offered. And they did, because he came back within 2 weeks.
Good for him. He tested the market.
Yeah. But well, also, at a certain point, I'd like there to be a little bit more loyalty in the program.
They need – the contracts have to, you know, get – more concrete, you hope, because if I'm sitting here, Derek, I'm starting center, and they're giving me whatever, $100, and they're out recruiting some other guy and give him $200, and then he accepts that and comes in, and I hear it because
well, I sign a contract already for my NIL package?
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. The contracts have to, which, from my understanding, they are entering the entire NIL picture. So, once you sign that contract, you are legally bound, and yet, to Deion's point, they can come back and get your money. Mm-hmm. You know, if you don't honor it, or I mean, you got to be here 2 years, whatever, before you can even think about going to the transfer portal, whatever it might
but
be.
However, they structure. We have this cornerback now. Is that you hear about this, the Lucas kid?
What I don't know where you're going with this.
What do you know the story?
I don't know what story you're talking about. Tell me
the corner. He. They're holding up his transfer because I think he signed a deal. I mean, it's a big deal.
Right.
So I don't know where that falls, and are they going to be able to hold him to stay? Or does he still want to leave? I don't know.
All right, we'll have more on that, plus the Green Bay Packers coming up next. If you are able, please help people affected by the California wildfires in 2025. The LA Rams versus the Minnesota Vikings has been moved because of how incredibly impactful this situation is. You can donate at redcross.org/ESPN to help the Red Cross respond and help recover people. That's redcross.org/ESPN. This is the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5 ESPN. Great Dane Huddle rolls on live from the Fitchburg location. And which season worries you more for next? Which team leaves a worse taste in your mouth as we move forward? The Packers finishing 11-7. 11-7, or the Badgers, who finished 5-7. We talked about it a little bit, and there's a reason for anxieties on both. We talked primarily about the Badgers, and we mentioned Xavier Lucas, who is kind of in a tricky situation. We got more information for you. So he has signed an NIL deal worth $500,000 reportedly with the players' collective, not with the school, because the schools cannot pay the players. Then he entered the transfer portal. He refused to take calls, it sounds like, and then Wisconsin refused to say anything. Both teams have gotten legal teams involved, but it is creating a really interesting situation. We don't have all of the details clear as day. I'm Alex Gravatt alongside Tarek Salah, Derek Engler. Derek, as you hear this, what kind of comes to your mind?
Well, I mean, like we were talking about last segment, I think, you know, eventually we need to see binding contracts. You need to, and you know, I don't know why this is taking, it's taking way too long. You know, you cannot just have uncapped free agency, okay? Tarek and I were talking off air, and he brought up a great point. You know, if Joe Thomas is your starting left tackle, you know, he's an all Big Ten player, you know, you know, potentially future All-American. Of course, we know he was. But you then you bring in the highest left tackle recruit out of PA or Ohio in the country and pay him more than what Joe's NIL deal was. What does that create? I mean, what a mess, right? So I don't know if you have minimums, right? You have minimums for kids coming out of high school. You have minimums for, okay, you were a two-year starter at this Division I FCS school, you know, so this is your minimum. This is your – I mean, you got it. You got to cap it. You just have to.
That structure is coming. It's just not there yet, so it's the Wild West. And all this is going on, and I, when we talk about the cornerback, what I think of, like, the precedent that's set. And if he signed a deal that was binding and then he could just get out of it, then – It's just going to be a ripple effect to all other players, right? Now, the lawyers are going to go, well, wait a minute. He got to go. He signed a deal. Why does he get to leave and my guy has to stay? And so this is we're on the cusp of a binding contract, and we can't adhere to it.
Right.
And, potentially.
And
I don't know.
Now we've got he said, she said. We've got all sorts of things. So if there's a regimen, if there's a checklist that must be checked off, or something to that level, then there will be much more structure and we won't have people who are dining and dashing, as it were.
I'd be curious to know how we get him out of Florida anyway. What was the initial package, you know, before he went back to the table? You know, that's another question.
Absolutely.
And then let's evaluate the talent and, you know, who's the business exec at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, the GM, so to speak, and evaluating this talent. Is he worth $500,000? I don't know.
He must have been.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and then what's, you know, when is it done? Because, like, all of a sudden, you know, he shows up, goes to spring ball, and then, you know, Alabama loses a corner, and let's say this kid Lucas goes to, like, Miami, and Alabama goes, hey, we'll give you $1 million. I know Miami's giving you $750,000, but we lost our corner, so, you know, and they scout him somehow, and they go get him. He just leaves after he took the money or the portion of the money.
It's a slippery slope college football is on right now.
All right.
But I'm just telling you, it is not good because you're going to eventually, over time, there are programs that are going to lose the loyalty of their fans. You can only go to the well so many times. I mean, you know, there are schools that is, those pockets are very, very deep, you know, and with their donors. But most schools... No, you can't keep this up.
Well, let's talk about that right here in Madison, because the Badgers have an incredibly loyal fan base.
Yep.
Consistently rated one of the best college football experiences and atmospheres, whether you're talking about the game and the jump around, the explicit exchange of words around the third quarter.
But the Badger Nation had relationships almost with the players here. They got to see him come in and recruited as a high school, you know, in-state, you know, great high school player. You know, there's a lot of backstories with the players that Wisconsin in the past and over time have recruited here. Walk-ons, you name it. And you don't see just a third of the team gone every year. And that is not, and what they're, you know, we all know what the seats are now, and they're building a $285 million football facility, you know, that South End Zone project. I mean, the prices aren't going down. So what product are we, how can we be connected with this Badger team when we don't even know who's on the team?
When we don't know who's on the team, and we don't know how it's going to look, because
right.
It's been two unsuccessful years, right? A bowl game last year was good, winning some of the trophy games, but this year was tough. And next year is going to be much tougher. It doesn't get easier. It's going to be a sludge to get through it. And so how can Wisconsin count on continued financial and fan support when we're talking about NIL?
It's going to be a rocky road, and until we get to the point where they put together infrastructure, and they're working on it, I think in the next year or two you're going to see it. There'll still be the dollars being moved around, but there'll be some sort of structure like the NFL, and that's what they're trying to get to. And it can't happen fast enough because of this chaos. Now, I think underneath this current chaos, if we – you know, we lost 26 players. I don't think that's going to be the, you know, this is an exception, not the rule. I think if we could get down to 10 to 15 that we lose every year and then replace with 10 to 15, that it's more palatable to the base, and you still have these recruits coming in, But you know, you got to identify, you got to create the identity, whatever that is that Luke's going to put out there, and then be able to maintain.
But you know what we're also losing, Tarek, is walk-ons. You know, and we go from 85 to 105 scholarships, right? But that's it. That's the roster limit. There are no walk-ons, okay? That is a travesty. I heard Rule talk about it at University of Nebraska. I mean, we're one of those programs. Because that's about, like I was talking about, I mean, this is some Division IV kid from up northern Wisconsin, you know, i.e. Jimmy Leonard, whomever, Jason Doring, you know, you keep going on and on and on, and on these walk-ons that we've had, especially in state, of course, and there's not going to be a place for them.
And that fills in the gaps for some of the scholarship guys that don't perform.
Right, and it's called development. That's what we're losing in all of this, is development. Because I was one of those guys. I was fortunate to get a scholarship, but I had to grind. I needed development. I couldn't come in. You know, I wasn't a Joe Thomas, Travis Frederick, and be able to start in the trenches as a freshman. I mean, that's uncanny, unheard of as an offensive lineman or defensive lineman for that matter. And Tarek didn't redshirt. He played as a true freshman, but he didn't start. But, you know, so he had to grind a little bit too. You know, so there had to be development there. You know,
I mean, a lot of learning. Like, and I might have gotten cut if there were cuts by the way I played freshman year. But it took me that after that year, the next three were great. But it was a huge learning curve, to Derek's point. And I don't understand. Where do they come up with 105? Like, why not have as many as you want?
I don't know.
What's up with that? It's ridiculous.
Can't pay everyone.
Yeah, but you don't have to. They're walk-ons. They don't get paid.
844-770-3776 is your way into the show. Call in, text in. We'll be getting to your calls in just a moment. Janesville Kia, located right off Interstate 90, is only minutes away from Madison. They treat people the way they like to be treated, and that's why they are up 78% over last year. See for yourself why people all over Wisconsin have experienced the difference Janesville Kia,
love Janesville Kia,
makes, and they've told their friends. Come see Kia's groundbreaking lineup of award-winning vehicles with an industry-leading 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty. Experience the difference great customer service makes today at Janesville Kia.
Go ahead.
Oh, you
got to finish your read.
It's over.
Oh, okay.
We did it.
So, no, that's really rich, by the way, the NC2A. Where did they get to say anything anymore? Literally. What kind of institution are they to be making rules? Are you kidding me?
They just let their guard down. They haven't done anything. They, you know, like I said last time, it was dereliction of duty.
All right. Well,
that's super.
If you're watching
really
on the stream right now, surfer Chad Hopper coming through clutch.
I saw Tarek gave you the finger. I saw that.
I need to wear black next time.
The motion.
I look like I'm freaking 500 pounds.
You can make fun of Tarek Saleh. You can see
what
Chad Hopper.
I don't know. You look
my
good.
Black,
you look
black covered up.
Everyone's looking slim. I'm wearing white, but I think, you know, I look real good over here. So you can chime in on the YouTube stream. Let us know what you think.
You know what? Last week I wore something light too, and I said I'm not doing that again.
I won't do it again either.
You guys are really, you know, you're in your head about this. It's okay. We're all safe. All right. We're going to enjoy our food here at the Fitchburg location of the Great Dane. We'll be back in just a moment. This is the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5 ESPN. You picked a damn good day to leave me sitting here, cooler full of Keystone. Nothing to do but fish all day long. Pocket full of 3-day weekend money and a heartbreak cloud and a forecast, honey. What does star power mean for Wisconsin football, Badgers and Packers? I'm Alex Gravatt alongside Tarek Saleh, Derek Engler. This is the Great Dane Huddle with Barry Alvarez, but without Barry Alvarez. We're live from the Fitchburg location. 844-770-3776 is your way in on the Carbless ESPN Wisconsin talk and text line. And there's a level of what happened to the Packers yesterday that was just outright no star power. And I was curious what you guys thought about that, because to me it feels like at a certain point when the game is on the line, we always had Aaron Rodgers or Brett Favre, who was a star, who could take over and win a game. It doesn't feel like the Packers have a superstar right now, whereas the Eagles kind of do. Do you guys feel like superstars are the way to win games in the NFL?
Well, you need leaders, right? Mm-hmm. Leaders first, and then superstars should be part of that,
right?
And I think Love, Jordan Love, has all the capabilities to do that. I think this year he got banged up, and they never got on a cohesive role. And then, you know, with the receivers getting hurt, Dobbs getting hurt, they had no continuity.
Jaden was banged up too. So if you're going to look at a superstar in that unit, you go right to Jaden Reed.
Which is weird because he was so ignored for much of the year.
The receiver.
Yeah, he had weeks with no targets, no receptions. He just was.
Well, I don't know. He never got into a groove. The offense was never in a groove. And then I think the defense just fell apart. You know, to not have your starting corner in there, that's tough. And, you know, like to Derek's point, Clark and Devontae Wyatt, Rashawn Gary, I think they either were tired or banged up or what. But those are the guys you're counting on.
They were playing probably the best offensive line in the league.
Yeah.
But that being said, I mean, Kenny Clark, like I said, that's an all-pro defensive tackle. The superstars, what you're referring to, G-Man, I think Josh Jacobs, you know, probably – I don't know. You could put it. He's definitely top five in the NFL as far as running backs concerned. And he showed up both. I mean, he caught the ball out of the backfield too. I mean,
long run he had that he got down on the one.
I'm just telling you, get ripped.
Yeah, it was there. You cannot have those turnovers, and you need a number one receiver, and you need it. You know, Kraft was in there. I think he caught a handful of balls. But you know, you need more than that to help out Love, because that running game was there, and it didn't help to have the Elgton Jenkins, you know, get banged up right away. I mean, and that really hurt him. And I thought the offensive line was very average, to be honest with you.
You look at the stats, they were pretty equal except for the turnovers. I mean, the four turnovers killed you, but then
– Four.
You didn't –
Ouch, you're never going to win.
They didn't have that toughness and that sense of urgency and that whatever Philly had. So it wasn't – you know, I didn't feel like we were –
Do you think that comes from their will?
They had more will than we had. They had more fight. They had more toughness.
Do you think that should come from Jordan Love?
Yes.
Big part of it. But there's other guys, too. It's a team. You know, Love should be setting the standard, but there should be other guys out there.
I didn't think Jalen Hurts played particularly well, to be honest with you. In fact, I am not big on Philly winning the divisional. I just think mainly because of the quarterback. I know they have – you know, a stout defensive front. They got Zach Bond, our former Badger, all pro.
God, he
congratulations.
Great.
He played awesome. Awesome. And, you know, I know they got their weapons, obviously, with Saquon and A.J. Brown and the other receiver. So, I mean, they have it there. Jordan Love doesn't have those weapons, other than I would argue, you know, Josh Jacobs is a lesser version, of course, of Saquon, but at least we have a good horse. You know, but we don't have those weapons that Jalen Hurts has, and he doesn't capitalize on them, and that's why they're going to lose.
He may be, Josh Jacobs, may be the kind of running back that we're looking for at Wisconsin, right? I mean, he went to Alabama, God, but that's the kind of guy.
Yeah. I mean, we were talking with Coach, I think it was last week. I know you were gone, right, G-Man, but Scadabo. I mean, that's a perfect Wisconsin right there, for sure. We'll take Josh Jacobs, too.
Josh Jacobs is so good. Are you saying that you think that the biggest problem for Jordan Love in this game was that he didn't have the help, not that he didn't bring the help?
I think he was under duress. I think the offensive line, like I said, played average. I mean, you lose your best offensive lineman right away. That doesn't help. But I really felt like guys like Tom, like I mentioned earlier in the show, just unlike him, you know, especially from a technique standpoint, because he's a really good technician. So it goes back to the bigger discussion we were having on the preparedness. Were they prepared? And you just didn't see it. Mm-hmm. Didn't see it from just a mental standpoint, from just an attitude standpoint, from a physicality standpoint.
Watson and Dobbs, right? They're both kind of glass jaw, kind of really vulnerable, like to get to injury.
My mom does call Christian Watson Crystal Watson because he's just always broken. I feel so bad for the guy, right? I mean, you don't want that, but
so you need some veteran leadership in that receiving room to step up and be and kind of help Love. So he has somebody that he counts on. He couldn't count on anybody, really. And he didn't have a go-to guy. The timing was off. He saw some missed passes. Now, he's guilty of that, right? Mm-hmm. But I just don't think they had cohesiveness in that offense. And I think with the offensive line being lackluster, unemotional, and then your defensive line just getting handled up front, and they're just running the ball at
will. You know who did show some emotion? After Elkton Jenkins went down, the backup comes in, and he gets yanked. The guy comes in. I don't even know his name. He's the third string left guard. He walks up, he points at his guys, I'm taking you down. And then he goes out there, and he actually throws some pretty good blocks. I know.
You talking about 67?
I think so.
No, he had two holding calls and then took
the center
out.
He was the one who got yanked.
Okay, the next guy came in.
Yeah. Anyway.
So, yeah, we need more emotion from those guys.
Well, here's something interesting. So Jordan Love spoke with the media after the game, and this is what he had to say about losing to the best teams in the NFL.
We lost to some really good teams, and we just got to find. We'll look at those games, but we got to find ways to just execute and win those big time games like that. And obviously, this year we weren't able to do that. So there'll be a lot of stuff we'll look at, trying to figure out what exactly the root of our problem is and areas we can get better. But just wasn't good enough against the, like you said, the really good teams in this league, and be something that we'll focus on this offseason.
It sounds like he's not getting paid $55 million a year to care about that. He sounds like he's just okay with it to me. I don't know what you guys heard from that clip, but he's just relaxed. Maybe too relaxed for a team that just lost.
Well, I think he's the half glass full. He's kind of calm, cool, collective. He's not going to have a high or too low of an emotion. Yeah, would you like to see more of fight out of that? Maybe not quite Tim Tebow-esque. At Florida when he went nuts.
Yeah.
But something a little bit more. But I think there are some other things on this team that we don't know specifically, but they're just not, performing. And we talk about, again, the front seven on both sides. They're soft. At least they were hurt, Derek. I don't know what the excuse is, but they didn't come out and they weren't physical.
I think, and G-Man, correct me if I'm wrong on this. I mean, from a statistic standpoint, I think the Packers' defense, in particular their run defense, was pretty good this year.
They're fine, yeah.
I just Rashawn Gary got paid a lot of money. I think, what did he end up with, 8 sacks, 9 sacks, something like that?
I think he had 10.
Did he get 10?
I don't think he hit double digits during the regular season.
Okay. I don't think so either. Which is fine, I guess, but for the money he got paid, you need more. You need more out of him.
I agree 100%.
7.5 sacks on the season.
Oh, yeah. No. No.
Yeah, no. He did not live up to it.
His sacks weren't, impactful either.
I think he made the Pro Bowl, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is,
he's not all pro, but he made the Pro Bowl. Yeah, I get it. I get it. You have that. But again, I go back to, you need a diva on the outside when you got a quarterback like Jordan Love. I just, that's my humble opinion, is you need a number one. And then if you, Josh Jacobs, thank God we had him,
yep.
Right? And then I think we need some, kind of bolster that offensive line.
There is one name
in there.
There is one name that the Green Bay Packers are tied to in free agency this year. We'll have that next. This is the Great Dane Pub and Brewing Company. It is a Madison Original, brewing award-winning craft beers for over 30 years. This week, the Great Dane is celebrating the one-year anniversary of their sister brewery in Japan. Head to one of their locations in Hilldale, downtown East Madison, or right here in Fitchburg, and enjoy their anniversary special meals and cocktails. Don't miss out. Specials are only available until January 19th. Great Dane Pub and Brewing Company, Madison's original brew pub, serving award-winning beer and great food since 1974. We'll have the name of that wide receiver next. This is the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5.
My hands on myself. Take all dust and mold, put them back up on the shelf. Guess my little baby girl is in need. Am I coming out of left field? Ooh, I'm a rebel just for kicks. I've been feeling it since 1966. Now, happy over and now.
The Great on live from Fitchburg. We do not have Coach today. I wonder what he'd be saying as the Packers took a big fat L, 22-10. It was ugly. It wasn't even fun. And I think that that's maybe where I'm struggling the most, because looking forward, I hope and expect the Packers to be back in a similar situation this year, next year, the following year. They've got young pieces. They've got young talent. But that was just a boring game against a pretty good, not great football team. And you're over here talking about how excited you are about the Ravens, Derek. And it just, that's an exciting football team.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is. You know, we got really lucky because our football weekend started early with the college football playoffs. And I, like we were talking off air, and I would have loved, and we can do it next week with Coach, I really want to hear his thoughts on that Penn State-Notre Dame game. And I heard something, maybe Riley can look this up, that the last time a Notre Dame football team was 7-0 against ranked opponents was 1989, and Coach Alvarez was the D coordinator back then at Notre Dame. You know, and I had two former teammates with the Giants, Howard Cross, Roman Oben. Both their sons start in that defensive front for the Fighting Irish. Howard Cross the third and Roman Oben Jr. At defensive end, and Howard's in the middle. But, you know, I saw Howard on TV, so I'm getting fired up. I'm texting with Roman. And of course, our guy and our close friend and former teammate Joe Rudolph coaching the O-line. What he did at halftime, by the way, Tarek, and I think yeah. We were texting, what he had to do at halftime, I think he lost two guys, starters,
yep.
In the first half.
Left tackle.
So he had to bring these young bucks against that Penn State front. I mean, there's beasts and werewolves up there. And so whatever he did, Notre Dame came out after half and obviously were ready to play and you know, ended up winning a great, great college football game. I mean, that was exciting.
The half glass full here for Notre Dame, I believe their front is very formidable for Ohio State's front. And if they could match up there a little bit, the secondary.
You're talking about Ohio State offensive line and Penn State's D line?
No, I'm talking about Notre Dame's D line.
Oh, okay. Notre Dame's D line. Okay.
Yeah, to your point, they've got a couple guys on the edge that are special or. Yeah. Pretty damn good. Special.
Yep.
Pretty good. And the guys in the middle have a lot of heart.
Yep.
And those are a lot of your former teammates' kids.
Yep.
And maybe they're dudes too, like different. But they play tough, smart, and they have corners that are NFL corners.
So no
question. They're going to need that versus the unbelievable receivers for Ohio State.
Ohio State's got some big dudes.
So I think that's what's going to keep keep Notre Dame in the game. And from an offensive side, they loves the running back, I believe.
Yep.
He had a knee issue, and I'm like, well.
Knee issue? He did a 7-foot hurdle. Either that's a robotic knee or something. Oh, my God. I'd never seen anything like that.
That's what I'm saying.
Or like, the drive, the push he had into that end zone?
Yeah.
Wow.
So he's been fighting this knee injury, right? And he just keeps coming he keeps going. So in the end, if you know, the offensive line is, that's a tough losing that left tackle and some of the other guys. But. They might hang around, and you know, 9.5 points in particular. If you're betting,
what are we doing next? That came to me. That's next week at this time at 6:30. Well, are we pre-recording the show.
I think we're going Tuesday.
We're going Tuesday.
We're going to do a post game.
Okay, all right, that'll be good.
The Great Dane Huddle live next week Tuesday as we'll be reacting to the Ohio State Notre Dame Fighting Irish national championship game. Do you think? I am of the volition that I believe Ohio State has this in the bag. I know Notre Dame's good. I know that they're fighting. I know it's gonna be a good game. I think that this has been a fantastic product, this expanded playoff. But I don't see Ohio State losing it.
Naturally, you can see Notre Dame running out of gas, right?
You think they can run out of gas?
What's that? Because they've been injured. They have a lot of injuries. So Notre Dame, I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
So that's why you naturally just say Ohio State's gonna beat them, but.
Derek, thoughts?
No, I think, you know, the will, the determination of Coach Freeman, you know, unlike our Green Bay Packers and Matt LaFleur, basically they're going to – Notre Dame.
I'm taking the 9.5.
I'll take that all day long.
I'm taking Notre Dame.
They're taking Notre Dame to cover. I think it's all Ohio State. This has been the Great Dane Huddle live from the Fitchburg location of the Great Dane.